You have lacked in love for God and lacked in obedience to him. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we so often know that you are the creator of all things. You are the giver of all blessings. You are the source of love. In fact, you are love itself. And when good things come and we receive your blessings and the things that we desire, we are filled with delight and we praise you. But often we confess that we think that we've earned it. We think we deserve it. We forget that the only thing that we deserve is judgment and death. And so when things don't come our way and when things that we desire and pray for are not answered, we question you. We doubt you. We wonder about your righteousness. We question your love for us. Father, forgive us. Aid us. Aid us all the more that when we wonder what we have received, when we question your love, that we would fix our eyes on the cross, that we would see our Lord Jesus. We would remember the wounds in his hands and that we see that God came and gave everything for us, so that we who had nothing could have everything. So Lord Jesus, we ask that we would be filled with your same love for the Father. Would we be filled with the same obedience even to the point of death, that we would die to ourselves, knowing that we will not remain dead, but instead we will experience the freedom of the resurrected life and the joy and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And so God, speak to us this morning and remind us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Today our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And it reads, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of this age.'" Please be seated. It's my pleasure to invite our guest speaker this morning. He has come from Texas, but he served in Lancaster, Pennsylvania for 32 years as the pastor of missions and partnering with global partners and helping us to understand this weekend about the real definition, the biblical definition of what missions is, which actually will inform us on how to live out and practice and what Christ has commanded us in this text here. Pastor Steve Behrens is joined with us with his lovely wife up on top. So she's you can see her after the service. And they have five wonderful grandchildren who are very gifted and outstanding, and they love their grandchildren. So if you're ever curious and you want to hear about their grandchildren, they'll be happy to share with you, among other things. And so would you join me in warmly welcoming Pastor Steve.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Well, we had a wonderful day yesterday interacting with so many of the people that are a part of the Rutgers Community Church, and thankful for that time together. It's not been the first time that we've done this, but it's been the first time since we've retired and moved to Texas. It is true, we love our grandchildren, so if you need any stories or whatever, you can come up afterwards and talk to us about that. This is kind of a coming home of sorts for me. I actually graduated from Piscataway High School. Yeah. So we're being picked up at the airport, and we're soon getting on 287, and everything suddenly seemed familiar to me again. Like, all was well, and it was just kind of a wonderful experience. It's been a couple years since we have actually been back in our home area. So to do that yesterday and Friday was kind of a special treat on the side. So I remember all the days of running out to Route 27 and going to Tasty Sub Shop and checking out all kinds of other, all where all the eateries are. And so it was just really a wonderful time together. So thank you for that extra special treat, throwing that in there and caring for us quite wonderfully. Well, a couple of years ago, actually more than just a few years ago now, a number of years ago, some friends of our family decided they wanted to do something out of the box, something different for a vacation time. And what they ended up deciding to do was to do several separate day trips. And one of those day trips was going to be a trip to a world-class amusement park. So they went to the amusement park on that day, and they got to the entrance, and they found out that that amusement park was just opening up a brand new roller coaster. And it was a roller coaster that had the longest vertical drop of any roller coaster in North America. So it was a pretty significant thing. And the family that went into the amusement park that day actually was representative of three generations. They had a whole, they had aunts and uncles and kids and grandparents. They were all there for that day. So they got in, and immediately the boys in the family, and I know this is really hard for you to imagine this, but the boys in the family were immediately impressed with the roller coaster, and they thought it would be a wonderful opportunity if we got all three generations of the guys together and would go on that coaster. So they started talking about it, and you know, the father and the grandfather were like, oh, this is never going to happen, guys, so just we can move on to some other discussion. We're happy to give you a wonderful day here, but it's just not, I don't feel it. It's not happening. So they went throughout the day, and they just incessantly talked about it and went back and forth to other relatives to try to prod some of the relatives to their side to then influence the father and the grandfather. And eventually, they wore the father and the grandfather down. And the father basically said, one time, just one time. That's it, one time. So they got online, and the line was over an hour long. I mean, some of you understand these things, right? That's what happens. They're over an hour long, and during that hour, the grandfather, he's kind of looking around, and you know, every once in a while, he would do something like this. And then he would, you know, get a little bit nervous about the decision to go on the ride and having second thoughts, and then they would hear screams. Yeah, screams. And then that light eventually kept moving, and it moved to a place where they were just about ready to get actually on the cars to go and do this thing. And it happened that they ended up being like on the first two cars. Yeah. I mean, if you're on the last car, I've been on the last car. Thank the Lord I've been on the last car. But they went on like the first two cars, and the boys got on the cars, and they're waving their hands, and they're all excited and really, you know, just stoked about this time. And the father and the grandfather are in a car behind them, and they're kind of sweating and quiet and having misgivings quietly. Then they started the ascent up into the clouds, you know, as it were. And they got up, and the grandfather's looking over the side, and the people are getting incredibly small. And he's looking and not knowing just what to think about this. And they got near the top, okay, getting within just a few feet of going over the top and then plunging down the other side in that longest vertical drop. And the grandfather looked at the father, and this is what he said. Is this trip really necessary? Yeah, he was really wondering whether, did we really have to go through with this? Is this something that has got to take place? Come on, tell me about this. Well, if truth be told, they actually did survive, and they lived to tell about it another day, and And it was a memorable thing. It was one of those things that, I mean, honestly, 30 years later, they still talk about it. They're like, remember when we got Grandpa to go on that ride? I couldn't believe we did that. And went on and on and on. So, but there are parallel stories like that that go on in life. And we want to talk about one of those parallel stories today. You see, the world in which we live, the world that we've been placed in, literally to minister, to reach out to other people, to make a difference, to build the Church of Jesus Christ, that world is at times a hostile ministry environment. It's challenging, it's difficult. You look around you, and if you do any traveling with ministry, short term or wherever you go, you begin to understand that, my goodness, there's poverty, there's pain, there's disease, there's insecurity, there's like human trafficking, there's lots of ugly things out there. And it just, you know, is terrible. And then you start looking at the cost of what it takes to actually plant the church, to really get it grounded in a culture that doesn't really know Jesus Christ and have any personal relationship with him, where there is no available and understood rescue plan for these people, spiritually speaking. And you see, and you come to even understand that with those missionaries that go out in some of these places, they go out to these places and it suddenly dawns on them that the people in these places don't even want them there. So you see the context in which we're called to minister, and sometimes when you start thinking just about that alone, you start wondering, is this trip really necessary? Yeah. So you start thinking about it, and you go to your church leaders, and you discuss these kinds of things, and you have all the greatest of apprehensions, and you're just not sure, why in the world are we doing what we're doing? So I thought it would be very appropriate today for us to take just a few minutes together, just a few, and then to talk a little bit about why we do what we do. I mean, I can tell you that I have at times been in front of people encouraging them to give sacrificially to missions. Do I have any good reason for doing that? Does this church have any good reason for doing that? Well, most of us would assume that we do, and the answer is yes, we do. But have you ever thought about the whys and the wherefores of what it takes and why we actually do what we do? So that's what we want to look at this morning for just a few minutes, because we really want to answer the question once and for all, is this trip really necessary? So as we do that this morning, let me just mention this. There are three reasons that I'm going to give you this morning. If we had more time, we could talk about 6 reasons or 18 reasons, or there would be an abundance of things we could discuss, but we're just going to zero in for a few minutes on 3 reasons why we believe this trip really is necessary. The first reason is because of the command of Jesus Christ. The command of Jesus Christ. We just read earlier today in the scriptures, the text in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, a critically important text in the Bible. And that text in the Bible is talking about what we are to do in the context of this world in which we live and how we minister. And it basically is saying we are called to make disciples. To just begin to ease into that text itself, the important part of this entire text for me, the foundation for it all, is in verse 18. In verse 18, it says what? It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ is about to make a statement that will stun the disciples. He's about to say something that they didn't quite anticipate him saying. And in the process, he wanted them to know that he actually had all the authority to say what he's about to say. All the authority in heaven and in earth. And he says, go and make disciples of all nations, of all ethnic groups of the world, He's saying that so that they would understand what their role is in all this, and that it really is a call to action. The text itself in Matthew 28 actually talks about making disciples. That's the main verb, the main action of the text. And then all that's related to it are hints about how you can make disciples of all nations, and that is by going, by baptizing, by teaching to obey. But the fact is, he's saying, make disciples of all nations or all the ethnic groups of the world. And in doing so, he's giving us one of the reasons why we do what we do in the church today, because the head of the church, who has all authority, is speaking that to us, putting it in the command form so that there's absolutely no doubt in his mind about what he's expecting us to do. So, why do we do what we do? Because of the command of Christ. So what we do as a result of the reason, the rationale for what we do, we need to also ask the question then, am I out of step with Christ's command? Because of the command of Christ, we do what we do, but periodically, might we be out of step with Christ's command? I mean, we hear about that command, we understand the command, it's been explained to us many times, but do we really enter into that command? Are we being obedient? Are we being responsive? Are we caring about the command that Jesus has given the church? Do we really care about that? So he talks about this, and we ask the question, am I out of step with Christ's command? Well, the way to answer that yourself is to say, have I in any way, shape, or form intentionally contributed to making disciples? Have I in any way attempted in this last 6 months attempted to make a disciple? We can ask ourselves other questions too. We can say, within the last 6 months, have I taken an interest in the spiritual growth of someone else around me? Someone. Anyone, but someone. Maybe it's someone at work. Maybe it's someone at church. Maybe it's someone in the auditorium here you should be connecting with. Maybe it's any number of other places. It could be in your own family. But have you really expressed some personal interest in the spiritual growth of that individual? Because that is, to some degree, beginning to enter into the spirit of Matthew 28 when it talks about make disciples. You know, I don't know about you, but over the years, I've kind of collected a number of prayer tools. And these tools are tools to help me pray for certain aspects of ministry around the world. And I've enjoyed that, and I've grown a lot by it, and I've been educated by these prayer tools. And I have one of them with me here today. And I wanted to show it to you because it fits in with what we're talking about. And I wanted to show it to you because, not because I'm patting myself on the back about doing something about it. It's simply because if I don't have something to remind myself to do it, I don't do it. I have over the years gotten quite busy. And in my busyness, it's been easy to neglect or forget what I really had in terms of all my good intentions and desires to really enter into certain things. So this is what we did. About 5 years ago, Calvary Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where we spent 32 of our 45 ministry years, Calvary Church, we decided that we would have a big push over a year's time to get people connected to unreached people groups. And the main reason way we could do that would be through prayer. So we actually got this display that displays all the unreached people groups of the world. You can get a wall like that for your church. And we got that wall up, put it in the lobby of the church. And then on a couple of Sundays, we said we wanted everybody to go out and to pick one unreached people group. And out of that unreached people group, we wanted them to pray for 30 days for that unreached people group. So just like everybody else, I dutifully went up and I got my card and took a picture of the wall where my assignment was. And Here it says, Steve will pray in the next 30 days for, and then you fill in the blank. I've got mine filled out. You can. I'd love to show it to you afterwards if you want to come down front. And then on the back side, it says, visit, make a plan, and pray. So under visit, it says, visit the joshuaproject.net/search. Look up your unreached people group and learn specific ways that you can pray. So online, you can get a lot more information and get more fully engaged by just going to joshuaproject.net/search. So that's what I did. Then it says, make a plan. So it says in my card, set a reminder in your phone or put a sticky note in a place that you can see daily so you can remember to do what you're supposed to do. Okay? I could do that. Then three, it says pray. It says pray simply and humbly for three things. More workers, two, open hearts, three, life change. So now this is just what I do, but this is something that we engaged with our church family over a period of 30 days. I'm actually in year 5 with mine because I felt terrible about throwing it away or neglecting it. And so I've carried it around. It actually made the move from Lancaster, Pennsylvania to Austin, Texas with me. And we still continue to pray for this particular people group that I listed and I selected myself 5 years ago. So that's just one additional way when we can ask ourselves, are we in any way in step with the Great Commission command to make disciples? Are we really doing that? That was just a simple thing for us to be able to do, and you'll find your own special ways where you can connect, where you can do your things, but that's what Steve Byrne did. So, have you prayed for a people group by name? A second reason. Let me give you a second reason for why we do what we do. That second reason is because of the character of God. First, because of the command of Christ. Second, because of the character of God. So if you can, let's look for just a minute to 1 John 4:7-8. 1 John 4:7-8. You've probably got it right there on the screens to my back. 1 John 4:7-8, and it says this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So in the scriptures, time and time and time again, it mentions to us that when a person comes to personal faith in Christ, that person begins to change. They actually are classified in the New Testament as a new creation in Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. In addition to that, we have a new nature. We have a new capacity to love. We have a new capacity to connect to people. We have a new capacity to reach out to others and to touch the lives of people in ways that we previously did not. So that's what it's talking about here when we talk about the, you know, why do we do what we do? We do it because of the character of God. And it is important for us to understand just how fragile that growing relationship is, where we grow in our ability, in our capacity to love others. That takes time, and sometimes we fail. There are actual colossal failures that are mentioned in the scriptures about this. If you want to, for just a minute, go to Jonah chapter 3. It's the classic Old Testament failure on the part of Jonah. Jonah, someone who was supposed to be a godly person. We look at verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. So we see Jonah understood the very character of God. He understood that the character of God brought about it. There was a powerful encounter that people could have with God. These Ninevites had that powerful encounter of all people on the face of the earth. These evil and terrible people that God was about to destroy were the very people that were the recipients of that life-changing, powerful love. And that powerful love is something that obviously we need to be able to display. We need to be able to give away. We need to be able to make sure that is highly activated in our lives so that we can reach out to others and then others can see the very love of Christ in us. So Jonah, you know, Jonah's story is that Jonah wanted to give everybody what they deserved. God wanted to give them what they didn't deserve. And that's a pretty powerful thing. When you begin to think, what tools do I have in my arsenal to reach out to people, to make a difference in my community? Well, you just remember that God wants to give people what they don't deserve. And as a result of that, that's what mission we could be on as we think about and respond to the command of Christ and then think about the character of God. It certainly is an incredibly important thing. Now, the question is, am I out of line with God's character? First of all, am I out of step with God's command, but now am I out of line with God's character? So how do we know if we're out of line with God's character? Well, all I do know is that God's love is not selective. If your love is selective, if you're very particular about who you hang out with, if you're very particular about what kind of people you spend your time with, you may be too selective. It might not be the work of the Spirit of God in you. God has given us an ability to express affection for people unlike ourselves. And we need to activate that kind of love in our hearts and make sure that that's what's happening. So people ultimately become a priority with God. They have always been a priority with God. We need to make sure that these people around us, whoever God has placed around us, are the people who sense that people are a priority to us as well. So it is an amazing thing to think that our love is a powerful force for the world. It's not something we keep for ourselves. It's not something that we activate when we walk into the doors of the church ministry here. And you have a wonderful opportunity through a beautiful and an effective ministry right here, you know, in Somerset, to be able to do that. But that's why we do what we do, because of the character of God, because the character of God should lead us to people. It says what? God so loved the world that he gave. So God did many things in response to his love for others, and we need to be that responsive to the needs of others as well. So that's why we do what we do. Always trying to, by faith, expand our capacity to love others unlike ourselves. I'm sure all of us, if we had a moment, could actually even have a little fun or entertainment thinking about the people around us that are somewhat unlovable. There always are people like that. Maybe many people like that. And God has just called us to love those people. He hasn't called us necessarily to lecture those people or to put them in their place or to do a wide variety of other things. He's just called us to reach out to them. And that's what you do when you begin to absorb the Great Commission cause itself to make disciples of all the nations. Now, the first reason, of course, is because of the command of Christ. So am I out of, you know, character? Am I out of step with God? The second command is, what about the character of God? And then, am I out of line with God's character? Then the third reason for becoming, for doing, being responsive as we are to the Great Commission itself is because of the condition of man, the condition of man. Most of us know in Romans 3:23, it says, what? All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. It separates us from God. It was already mentioned in this service this morning. Beyond that, we see that, you know, the rescue plan is absolutely needed for people, absolutely needed. Romans 6:23 talks about the rescue plan being identified. You know, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The rescue plan has been identified. But the rescue plan has not always been shared. It's not always been made readily available. So the rescue plan is needed for many people groups around the world. When you begin to look at the world sociologically, when you begin to look at it in terms of the world of people, they tell us that there are about 17,400 people groups in the world. It's a lot. Out of those 17,400, approximately, out of that number, there are about 7,400 that have yet to have had any contact with the gospel whatsoever, any contact. So that 7,400 is a group of people who essentially have no Bible in their native tongue, who don't know a single believer, and in addition are nowhere near having access to a local church that they could go to be able to sort through their spiritual condition and respond by faith. They have no one. 7,400 groups. It's kind of an amazing thing. One of the religious blocks, we're not talking about ethnic groups, but a religious block of people, one of the largest religious blocks has over 1 billion people in it. And among that group of over 1 billion people, 85% of all of those people have never met a Christian. 85%. Pretty amazing. So there are so many things that are a challenge for us, that are a recourse for us to be able to respond in faith. That's why the Great Commission is a call to action. It's a call to doing something, not just thinking about something, not just talking about something, but actually doing something. So that's the reason why we do what we do, because of the condition of man. 17,400 groups with 7,400 still not having had a rescue plan delivered to them. We see, I think, even from the text up there, it talks about we are the ambassadors, are we not? We are the individuals who God has called and raised up to be the voice box, the spokesman and spokeswoman for the kingdom. And so that's our responsibility. We are to speak into the condition. I don't know whether you felt like you've ever spoken into the condition before, but that's what he wants you to do. That's why you are an ambassador, so that these kinds of things can take place. So we ask ourselves, are we out of touch with man's condition? That's the reflection that we need to do. Are we out of touch with man's condition? So are you aware of the spiritual needs of the world? I've just given you a couple stats. We can just run off a million stats. That's not necessarily the most helpful thing to do. People are aware that there are needs here. I mean, there are needs all over. There are needs in Somerset. There are significant needs in lots of other places. But are you aware? Have you taken it upon yourself to educate yourself about the growing needs? Sometimes it's amazing in the world in which we live, the growing needs are actually coming to us. They're actually living among us now. They're sending their kids off to school with our kids, and they're getting acquainted with U.S. culture. In Texas right now, one of the most amazing things has happened, and that is there are a number of dear Muslims that have come to Texas because they're all were associated with the military community in Afghanistan. And as a result of that, many pulled these dear people out of Afghanistan, and now Texas is like the largest area in the world outside of the Muslim world, in the Middle East and Central Asia. It has the largest population of Muslims that anyone would ever have anywhere. It used to be that the concentrations in the New York City area and the Detroit area were the areas where there was the greatest concentration of Muslim activity and life and service. And that's not true anymore. It's all Texas. It's Dallas, it's Houston, it's Austin, it's San Antonio. So those four areas all have strong military presence. All of those military people brought their friends back with them. And now those people are getting acclimated to a totally new life. And our church, our particular church, Parkway Bible Church in Pflugerville, just north, just over the city limits from Austin, we actually have a Islamic center about 1 mile from our church, 1 mile from our church. So we have to ask the question, what are we going to do about that? It might be a providential, well, we know it is a providential thing. So we need to be able to respond to that condition and that need. And that's what it's talking about here. Those are people that need personal faith in Christ. We want to compassionately and carefully and respectfully reach out to them and make a difference in their lives. Show them the love of Christ. Show them the love of Christ. And then eventually try to address that ultimate, condition, failing condition with the rescue plan. So how are we to be, responding to this? Be aware of the spiritual condition of the world. Make sure that you participate in helping someone bring the rescue plan to someone who has had no opportunity to really have that rescue plan themselves. It has to be brought to them in some cases. I can think of and probably rattle off 25 or 30 different places around the world where there actually is absolutely no rescue plan. There's no plan for a rescue plan to go in there right now. And people in a lost condition are struggling and are not surviving, are not going to be able to make that rescue plan and not be able to experience that for themselves. So there are a lot of good reasons why we should be doing what the Lord has asked us to do. It is a command. It's the command of Christ. We want to make sure we're in step with the command of Christ. It's also part of the condition of man, but it's also part of the character of God. These are the things that drive us. So when people come to us and they say, why are you even doing that? Isn't that just a waste of time? Or why don't you just concentrate on yourselves? We do it because of those reasons. Those are fundamental reasons to our faith, to our God, to ourselves. And we do that so that we can help establish and build the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. That's why we do what we do. So I can guarantee you that at some point in time, someone is going to say, when they find out that what we talk about is hard to do, they're going to come and say, is this trip really necessary? And you're going to say, it is, for the following reasons, it really is. It's all about that command, that character, that condition. And that should drive us as a church, as a collective Christian community, to do something about it so that we can really build the Church of Jesus Christ and we can rejoice with the kind of work the Spirit of God is doing through us and in us for the glory of God, all for the sake of building the church. So with that, we go forward, we trust God, and we understand that this trip really is necessary. Well, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the moment in time when someone reached out to each of us, someone spoke truth to us, someone guided us through the scriptures, someone reached out in love and compassion. We just thank you for those moments in time that changed the direction of our lives. And we would pray that you certainly would repeat that kind of life experience through us, so that many others can have that same life-changing experience. So, Father, build the Church of Jesus Christ on the resolve of your people. Make it a wonderful opportunity for life change in an entire community, people here and people abroad. So guide this church family. Make it a wonderful instrument of reconciliation with God around the world. And we just pray for your very special blessing upon the leadership of this church, that you will guide them and all who respond to the leadership, that they in turn will do exactly what you've called them to do, and that is to make disciples of all the ethnic groups of the world. So, Father, with that, we just ask that you would especially bless and guide and help them. And we ask all this in the very special name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.